Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa Enig-Duberry with Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all individuals. This show is sponsored by Trinity Counseling Services, Charlotte and Burlington, 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B, Charlotte, NC, 28206, and Burlington, 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burlington, North Carolina, 27215. Phone numbers are 704-333-2446 and 336-675-0075. We are here this morning on our weekday edition of Talk with Trinity. We have labeled it under spirituality as that we share about the Word of God and how it works in our lives. And I say we because I see that there are individuals who listen. Our call-in number is 347-945-5924 is our call-in number. And as always, you are welcome to email me at melissatrinitycounseling@gmail.com. We just want to pray right now that Heavenly Father, we just come to you as humble as we know how. Just wanted to thank you and say thank you for allowing us to wake this morning. Thank you for keeping us safe through the night. Thank you for healing of our bodies. Thank you for healing of our minds. And then, Heavenly Father, as we go forth, just protect us and keep us safe and let our behaviors be pleasing to you and allow the wisdom, knowledge, and instruction of your word to go forth as we go through this day. This morning, as I've said, we have been digging and talking about blessings and curses and the purpose for our lives. And I always do an introduction as a licensed clinical addiction specialist and as a licensed professional counselor or associate. What other titles do I have? But I always want to say that I am a child of God. I am a believer in the Word of God. I don't have any problems with believing that God is the Father, Jesus Christ is the Son, who came down, and the Holy Spirit is left here to help us. I have no problem with that understanding, that belief. I know that there are some individuals that struggle with just that old idea or go back and forth as far as saying, excuse me, that, you know, we, as African-Americans, that, you know, we're over here and we're underneath the rule of individuals don't love or care about us and that the Bible is not real and that there's much more than what it was. And, I mean, there's just a lot of things that are confusing. And the more education I get, the more knowledge that I get, the more that I realize instead that it would even confound the wise. There are individuals, many of whom have education, have experience, and have different knowledges that have come from books, that have come from their experiences, and they basically denounce God or denounce what it is that they have known or denounce whatever their religion is. And that's all well and good, but for me and for my house, we serve the Lord. We believe in God, and we believe in the God fold. We believe in the 3-in-1. We believe in the Trinity. Trinity itself, which is the name of my business, came from a time when I knew that I believed that only through Jesus can individuals be delivered, and I didn't find deliverance in any other religion. I found deliverance in Christianity. I myself did explore other religions when I was much younger, when I was in college. Almost not a rebellion, but just an interest. I studied some about Islam. I studied a little bit about Judaism. I even looked into Confucianism. I looked into Buddhism. I met individuals who were Buddhists. I met individuals who were atheists. And as I've been in the field of drugs and alcohol, I've realized that there are individuals who struggle with their religion struggle with their spirituality for the reason that the religion just did not seem to work, or their faith in God did not seem to help them, and become discouraged or hopeless as a result of whatever was going on in their household when they were growing up that they believed caused them to drink or use drugs, and then found themselves in detrimental situations. I've always worked in facilities and organizations and places where there's been lack and loss and hopelessness and lack of faith and all the things that come with that. I mean, my first job, which is when the Trinity Mission itself was given as a vision, there were individuals at a detoxification facility, which was a county facility. There was no cost to it. Anybody could come in off of the streets with no insurance. They could sign themselves in, and once they signed themselves in, they could stay for 3 to 5 days, and then they could be referred into other programs, and then whether the programs worked or not. And at that time, in the early 90s, there were a lot of options. There were individuals who, females with kids and people with Medicaid, they could go to places like Lancaster Recovery and Galax, who would accept their insurance, or places in South Carolina, Columbia, and they could go and they could stay, and then they would come out and they would go to halfway houses. They couldn't go there. They could go to 28-day treatment, which was prevalent. You had Julian Keats, and you had Martha B. Jones, and I think it was one other one, and you could go and sign in there, and you could stay for 28 days or, you know, with relapse prevention or whatever worked. You didn't have to pay anything, and you pretty much eat pretty decent and, you know, develop relationships with individuals in recovery or individuals that were in those programs, and then get out and go to halfway houses and places and stay. And but then they would ultimately end up returning back, and I imagine that somewhere along the way they began to lose hope and think, well, God must have left them along the way, because why, oh, why, oh, why were they still suffering? And then, you know, working in the jail, same thing, being incarcerated and still finding yourself under the thumb of a system that you believed it didn't care anything about you, but it was not unlike the family system that you didn't care anything about you, or your relationship system that you didn't care anything about you, or the education system that didn't care anything about you, or the employment system that didn't care anything about you. And then you would find yourself incarcerated because of the decisions you made, and then the decisions you made that caused you to be away from your families and away from all those things that you didn't care anything about you. And this is the cycle just continued on and on. And then, yeah, I ended up at a home, working at a homeless shelter, and the same thing at this point. Now you're without stuff, you know. And one of the reasons why I'm no longer there is because my thought was once you have fallen so far, that was a rock bottom for me. Being without power, being without a home, or being without resources, and being able to equate that it was something that I did, and the mere reason why I was there is that there were individuals there who did not see that the same thing because of their addiction or because of their thought processes. It was still someone else's fault. And at that point, I was just like, really? Here you are, 5 DWIs on a moped. Here you are, you know, more concerned about a cell phone than buying your own bus pass to get you back and forth to work. You know, depending still on the shelter to provide the stuff, and then I would say it out of my mouth because I was still, you know, I'm still who I am, and I'm still saying to myself, and I'm still saying to them, at some point you just got to just say it is me, and that there it lies. Here I was terminated, things happened, and then here I am 8 or 9 years later, and personally, I had learned some of the similar things that those individuals had learned because of some of my own behaviors, because of some of my own shortcomings. I found myself in different situations, procrastination and discouragement, and I want to say dishonesty, but there's really no button that dishonesty, just lying to myself about situations or lying to myself about, you know, am I really lazy? But it doesn't appear so because I can get things done, but when I don't have anything that distracts me from those things. And so here I am in a business and nearly 20 years later from the vision and haven't realized that originally the vision was what it was. It says that the enemy goes out to and fro, to whom it may devour, and then it returns back and returns seven times stronger unless the house is clean. And the original vision was helping people to see and knowing that deliverance was possible, but that there was a process to cleaning of the house. And my own house is dirty. My own house is hiding. My own house, I still have shortcomings, some things that I still hold on to personally. And then so what has been replaying my mind, Deuteronomy, where it talks about blessings, it says, If you do what the Lord your God has purposed for you to do, then blessings will come. But you must do those things. And so, and then how will you do those things if you still are yet in war with yourself, or you're still warring, the flesh and the spirit are still warring against one another, because you still haven't completely laid down your will and your life over to God. And those are the steps that we have talked about repeatedly. The first step being we admitted that we are powerless over and that our lives have become unmanageable. We can admit powerlessness over the decisions we make, but we don't admit powerlessness over every single thing. Then we're going to still believe that we have some power and control over things. If we don't admit powerlessness over the individuals in our life or the people that we encounter, we're going to still believe that we have the power and control over other people in our life. If we don't, so the admitting of powerlessness, it requires a deeper thought about what it is that we still are trying to maintain power control over. And one thing that has come into my mind is when you wake up, into my heart, when you wake up still believing that it's the things that you do that saves you, then that goes against the word of God, because when Jesus died, he did all of that already. It's not the things you do, it's not the good you do, it's not any of those things. And if you still believe that you need to progress forward and to do things that are pleasing to him, you're still seeking approval, you're still seeking attention, and you're still seeking those things, then you're still thinking that you have a power and control over God bringing you into heaven simply because of the things you do. So why are you continually doing that? Also, with the step two, came to believe that power greater than myself can restore sanity. Well, that step in itself came to believe, the coming to believe, coming to our senses and believing that a power greater than ourselves can restore sanity. That would mean that admitting there were some really insane things that were done in our lives. And if you still think that there was some sanity in some of your behaviors, you're going to still make excuses and still think that those things are okay. If you continue to stay in a relationship that you know has a negative end, or just selfishness, or it's not mirroring the kindness or the giving that you're doing, then you are yourself still believing that there's the power that is greater is that individual. The power that is greater is still something that you can do that'll make those things, to make the relationship better, or make the job better, or whatever it is, and you still haven't let that aspect go. But the last one being made a conscious decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God and understood it. I know that I am supposed to be speaking God's word. I know that I've been doing that through this radio program on my own, in my car, most times with myself or with my kids, but not really sharing it, not really letting anybody else know it, not really wanting to step into the limelight or step into the light of it, but just continuing to hide it. And it's almost, am I ashamed, or do I believe like Moses that I'm incapable? for, and it dawned on me, I had this young lady that's an intern for me now, a woman that's an intern for me now, and she's like, she's reading the accomplishments that I made, and it's almost like she's doubted them because she's like, well, where have you been? You know, and I'm like, right here, little old me in my office that's off the beaten path, that's really not in front of anybody or anything like that. And she's like, but how is that even possible? Thinking to herself that if I have the things that I have, the accolades that I have, the titles that I have, the things behind me, that I should be doing much, much more, and that dawned on me. So at the end of all of that, I began to think about the war that we are in, and that always has always resonated in my mind. Trinity has always been the moniker. Trinity has always been my belief in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but I always am more adapted to or more attracted to the whole concept of the war that we're in, specifically because I've seen the consequences of that war. And there are many verses. I looked it up, and it was the Open Bible formation, and I found it very interesting that this is going to be the first day of this topic, but the scriptures about war, and the one that stood out to me first was Revelation 12:7-11. I'm always mentioning this one. It says, now war rose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer, so he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven, and the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. In reading that, I always am talking about my name being Enoch, and Enoch, during his time, there were angels that were considered as watchers, and he observed them developing relationships with the daughters of men, so the sons of God, the angels and the daughters of men developed a relationship and had children. And through all of this, and it says, and so it picks up here in Revelation where it says, and that happened, that these angels, when they came down, they brought the darker side of God with them. Because God is the creator. The darker side of God was the things such as, you know, the studying of the stars and the working of stones and all of the, what we would think about as the like the voodoo and the magic and all of those things. Well, those individuals, those angels taught that to the sons, to the daughters of men here on earth. And so Enoch watched all of that happening, and he did not succumb to it, and he watched people fall into it. And because he didn't fall into it, God saw fit to bring him with him. And so when individuals that I find in treatment, sometimes they'll go off on tangents and ask me random questions, and I'm sure it's just to test my intellect, and that's all well and good. But they'll say things like, well, what about the Illuminati? What about, you know, the different things that we, you know, we see on earth? What about blood sacrifices? And what, and, you know, people selling them souls to the devil. I'm like, really? There is nothing new under the sun, says Ecclesiastes. And here lies says that that's what happened. And that's not new. So if they have relationships and they had kids, then that means their kids were here. And so if their kids had kids, and there's automatic curses because of their kids having kids all the way through the generations. But it says that we still have free will to make the choices and decisions, you know, whether or not we choose to do one thing and choose to do the other one. And so if that's the case, if he's accusing the other brethren, and if he's a deceiver, and if he was there and then he wasn't, if he lost the battle, then quite naturally he's going to be angry, he's going to be discouraged, he's going to be disgusted. different things are going to be happening, and that's just what that's going to be. And so we are always going to be at war because we have always been at war. The war originally was with Michael and his angels. So it says Michael and his angels. So when it talks about the legions of angels, and it talks about the levels of the angels, and if you think of Satan as being the general and then his angels, then you have Michael and his angels. It appears to me that there's a war with Michael, and then Gabriel was not a warrior. Gabriel was a deliverer of a message, and I believe there were several other ones, but that they're equal there. And so whoever Michael's angels are will be equated to whoever the devil's angels are, and that is who is on this earth, and that is who is resentful about fighting. And when I shared this with an individual, I said, well, jealousy has always been around because the devil was mad because God chose Adam. Jealousy has always been around. You have a set of individuals in other countries that are still fighting yet today because of their birthright being removed from them, from back with Jacob and Esau and Isaac. And so Jacob and Esau, so that's just what it is. So if we know all of that, if we know that there's a war, then there are things that we want to do in war. And the first thing it says, we must, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have the divine power to destroy the strongholds. That's 2 Corinthians 10:4. So we can't fight angels with our hands. We can fight spirits with our thoughts, but the spirits can't invade our thoughts. So what we must do in our fight is we must have a counter to whatever is being presented. So Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. You know that he's a deceiver. You know that he has schemes. You know that schemes, strategies, is in war, the art of war. You read those, the 48 laws of power, the art of manipulation, the art of seduction. Those are secular books that can be read that can give a hint to what the strategy of the enemy looks like. I always make a suggestion for individuals that if you want to know how this thing works, if you want to ponder, I mean, the Word of God gives us what the strongholds are. There's 16 of them. There's some studies where you can read that and you can break those things down. You see that when you have individuals that you know, are suffering from the disease of addiction and alcoholism. We list them on a regular basis in some of the groups that I do, simply because the whole idea is make yourself aware of these things that are capable of happening and knowing how to counter them. If you have the deaf and dumb spirit, which is the one where you're lacking confidence and the inability to speak, then you draw your confidence from God. That's easier said, and that's what needs to happen as far as being able to fight against that. Also recognizing that it says to stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. If you read from Ephesians 6:11 on through, it gives a thing that's the armor that needs to go with us on a day-to-day basis when we are at war. You can read Ephesians, and it'll tell you that. It'll also tell you that this whole scriptures of war just helps us because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. That's one level, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So you have rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, and spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. So if we divide from earth all the way up to heaven, in each level, there's a war that is happening. That's why when we pray to God that he protects us both here on earth, that he wars for us against the authority, that he helps us to have light in the present darkness, and against us to protect us from the forces of evil in heavenly places. And sometimes people like don't realize that those powers are at work. And if you deny any part of the word, then you don't have this ability. When you read the Quran tells stories. And if you're not a good reader, a good understander of the morals of those stories, then you're not going to know how to make that application. If you're in Judaism, and that's before Christ came, then you still believe that there needs to be some sacrifices that you yourself can make, instead of that there were sacrifices that was already made for us by Jesus. And we're not be able to lay down our lives for our kids, although we may want to. We can do things that look like sacrifice, but we can't save them. We can try to protect them, give them the mind to do all things in Judaism. If you don't have Jesus, then you're not going to be able to do that. Buddhism, even though they're praying to the God of Buddha, and Buddha believes everything is goodwill and hope towards men, when people do things wrong, how are you going to be able to forgive them if you're supposed to say, well, it's supposed to happen there because it feels good? That's not even going to be a truth. That has no inkling of truth. Same thing with Confucianism. He was a very smart individual, and he had his own thoughts and interpretations about it. But that's all that you have is the thoughts. It's not unlike there when there's Hinduism. Well, even Hinduism has a trinity, but the trinity is the God in three and not three in one. And that just makes it confusing because then you don't know which one to speak to. And then that's not unlike all the gods, the Greek mythology, all the gods of Roman mythology. There was God for everything that happened. And those are helpful to look at because it tells us about their lives, another set of schemes for the enemy. If you got a god of war, then you think you pray to him, he'll come into war. But what if you need a god of peace? You got to bring him, and then you got to carry all these people with you, and you ain't got a big enough band to take them all with you. That's just an analogy. And then if you're Native American and you don't believe in God himself, you just believe in the creation, and that's all well and good too, because that still gives an inkling, but it doesn't give a full understanding. It just kind of picks it out. It separates it. And rather than us being separate, if we remain separate in our thoughts and separate in our relationship with God, then we'll never know that we actually come from him. If he created us in his likeness and he wants to bring us back to him, we'll always believe that we're separate from him. If we remain separate from him, then we'll never go back to him, and then there'll never be the closeness, never be the belonging, never be in any other part of that. That's the only issue that I have with all of those other religions or no religions at all. It says that we are at war with all of that. So this is a good start, again, for our study, for our reading, for our knowledge, for our wisdom, and for us to be instructed. Like I said, you can go to openbible.info and just look up the scriptures about war. And we continue to share about that. And we just want to thank God for allowing us to come this morning. Thank God for allowing us to study his word. We just want to thank God for going before us. Thank God for his wisdom that's coming through the word of God and through our interactions, through our own experiences, through our situations. We just want to thank God. We just pray for healing right now. We just want to thank God for his blessings. And we just want to thank God for giving us another opportunity to see another day. And this is Melissa. Don't hesitate to write me, melissatrinitycounseling@gmail.com. I did not post any of our information. That's kind of what the program was about. It's Block Talk Radio, Talk with Trinity. Tell someone. We'll be back Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, 8 to 8:15 as a wrap-up for our weekend edition, and then back again on next Thursday to continue our study about more. This is Melissa Mary, and we'll talk with you soon. God bless.